Hey, you're listening to the Casper Faith Podcast, where you can catch up on and re-listen to encouraging messages shared by the staff here at the church. Thank you so much for joining us. We hope these words inspire you, challenge you, and expose you to God's love in a meaningful way. Enjoy the message.
I want to ask a question this morning. I'm going to ask for a show of hands, okay? How many of you have a weak stomach, okay? You get queasy very easy. You get sick to your stomach very easy. Just show of hands. How many are out there? Okay? There's a few of you. My oldest daughter, Erin, is pregnant with twins right now. I'm going to be a grandpa for the first time, and lately I have found myself getting nostalgic about when my little girl was a baby. You know, now that she's having kids, I'm thinking back, maybe some of you first-time grandparents, when your kids started having kids, you began to think back when your kids were babies. And I remember when Erin was born, I got to give her her first bath, okay, in the hospital. It was awesome. And, you know, I was afraid I was going to drop her. They said, no, you're fine. And they put her in my arm because you had to wash her. And her little head sat in my palm, and the rest of her body, I mean, it filled up to my elbow. It was just right there. She was right there. And that just comes back to me. I can still remember that today. I remember holding her. I remember rocking her. I'm just remembering all these different things that I did with my little girl. And the least favorite of all, I remember changing her diapers. Okay? I remember changing her diapers. Now, number one, that's easy peasy lemon squeezy. I can change a wet diaper, that's fine. But number two, that's a different story, okay? Now, you know, sometimes a dirty diaper, there's little balls that come there and they're kind of solid, right? That's pretty good. Okay, I can handle that. But, you know, when it's kind of messy, dear Jesus, help us, all right? You know, but then what's the worst is when they go number three. All right, not number one, not number two, but number three. Say, what's number three? Friends, number three, that is when they have a blowout, okay? It's the Hershey squirts, and it goes up the back, out the sides, down the legs. Those are the worst. And I've been remembering how when my daughter Erin, when we were youth pastors in Salt Lake City, every Sunday morning before we'd go to church, she would go number three. I mean, it was a mess. And her cute little dress, I mean, we had to take it off and give her another. I mean, most days, you know, she was getting a second bath. And here's the thing. We would wait until 5 minutes before we leave, and without fail, she would go number three. It was just all over. And I mean, you know what was the worst thing about it? It was the stench. The stench because, and here's the thing, when it smells so bad, you can't plug your nose because your hands are full of it. Okay? Now, some of you parents, you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about here. And here's the thing, our changing table was right near the hallway. And I remember there were times, it's kind of like, it's just so bad, I need to come up for air. So keep one hand on the baby so she doesn't roll all over into it or that kind of thing. And trying to stick your head out the door to get fresh air because you're just gagging. I don't know how many times, like, you know, it's just really bad. I mean, can you say vomit with me? Everybody say vomit. Okay, say it again. Vomit. I can't hear you. Vomit. Now, you will understand why I had you say that a little bit later on in the message, okay? Here's the thing. Sometimes some things make us sick, and we're gonna talk about that this morning. We are in part three of a series that we're calling The Christian Atheist. Now, what is an atheist? An atheist is someone who doesn't believe that God exists, okay? And therefore, if you don't believe that God exists, then you're going to act like God doesn't exist. Now, that doesn't mean that atheists are bad people. I know some atheists that are great people, contributing citizens, great members of society, very helpful and stuff. But today, we want to talk about a Christian atheist. And a Christian atheist is someone God believes in God exists, but they act, they live as if God does not exist in their lives, that God does not exist at all. And so in week one, we talked about people who believed in God but did not know him. In week two, we talked about those who believe in God, but they don't fear him. They have what we called a customized Christianity. Next week, we're going to look at those who believe in God but do not fully trust him. I believe in you, God, but I'm not going to give you control. I'm not going to put my faith in you for every area of my life. We're going to look at that next week. This morning, we're going to talk about comfortable Christianity when it comes to being a Christian atheist. And this is people, and you can write this in your notes this morning, people who say, well, we believe in God, but we don't want to go overboard with him. We believe in God, but we don't want to go overboard with him. You know, yeah, I believe in God, but I don't want to get too fanatical, too radical, too crazy about this Jesus stuff. You know, I don't want to be, you know, be wild and that kind of thing. But yeah, I believe in God. I like what he has in store for me. So to help us examine this and explore this, we're going to take a look at Revelation chapter 3. And you can turn to it in your Bibles, or if you've got an online device, you can turn to it on that. By the way, if you have the YouVersion app on your tablet or your phone, you can go to YouVersion. And you can go to the menu, go to events, and when you click on events, Casper Faith will come up, and all of our sermon notes, the scriptures, are right there on YouVersion, so you can follow along. You can even take your own notes, so you've got a record on it on your phone, and you can use it for your devotions throughout the week. But in Revelation chapter 3, and actually, let me give you a little bit of context of this. In the first part of Revelation, Jesus is writing seven letters to seven churches, or he's writing one letter to seven churches that's to be circulated. So seven different churches are getting a message. And in this letter that each church gets, in almost every church, Jesus first writes something to praise them about, something good they're doing. And then if there's any correction that's needed, he addresses the correction. So there's something good, then there's something that's not so good they have to work on. But there's one church in particular that Jesus has nothing good to say to them. The only thing, there's not even a bone to throw them. There's not even a couple of people that are doing good. He writes this rebuke to the entire church. It's the church of Laodicea. It's a church that I would say they had comfortable Christianity, and this is the church that we're going to look at today. Now, a little bit of history about the city of Laodicea. It was a very, very wealthy city. In fact, 35 years before this letter was written, Laodicea was destroyed by a massive earthquake. But they were so rich, so wealthy, that they denied Roman aid and they rebuilt the city with their own wealth. And they built it bigger and better. And they had a huge stadium. They had massive theaters. They had shopping centers. They were just very well known. It was known as a center for banking. They were famous for textiles, for linen, especially a famous black glossy wool that they sold, that they made clothing out of. They had a medical school that made eye salve and other medications. It was very famous, and the eye salve went all over the world. And the thing is about Laodicea, and you say, why the history lesson? Because Jesus, in his letter to the church, is going to take these different points that Laodicea had, and he's going to connect them and use them as illustrations and metaphors to address the problem that's in the church. And we'll kind of get into those as we go throughout the message. So let's take a look in chapter 3 of Revelation, verse 14. To the angel or the messenger, it'd be the pastor of the church in Laodicea, write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. This is what Jesus is saying. Notice Jesus says, I am faithful. I am true. The word we heard a few moments ago in our message, Jesus is the rock. He's faithful. You can depend upon him. That message that we heard, that prophecy in our service, could have been said to them. And this is what Jesus is saying to this group of very wealthy, very blessed people. And in verse 13, he says, I know your what? Your deeds. I know your deeds. I know your actions. Notice he says, notice he doesn't say, I know your beliefs. I know what you believe. Because here's the thing. Your beliefs don't tell you what you really believe. Your actions tell you what you really believe. Your deeds. And so Jesus says, hey, I know your deeds. It reveals what you really believe, what you really think about me. And he says, I know that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you're lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. How many coffee and tea drinkers do we have here this morning? Coffee or tea? Raise your hand high. All right, many of you are addicted to caffeine, all right? Now, who likes your coffee hot? A lot of you like it hot. My wife, when she goes to a coffee shop, she orders it extra hot, okay? I don't know how they do that, but she gets it extra hot. How many like it cold? Do you like your tea or your coffee iced? Do you like it cold? Raise your hand. Okay, many of you like it like that. Now, what about when your coffee or tea, whether it's hot or cold, sits around for 6 hours? How many like it after 6 hours? Very few of you. I mean, the numbers went down. How many like lukewarm coffee? That's your favorite way. How many enjoy lukewarm coffee? Nobody? Well, I got one. It's our pastor. Pastor Josh likes lukewarm coffee. He's a coffee addict. That would make sense. But most of us, lukewarm coffee? Ugh! Gross. Disgusting. I mean, I hate lukewarm soda pop. Isn't that disgusting? I mean, give it to me. Cold. I mean, you want something hot. You want something cold. And Jesus draws into the analogy of lukewarm because this metaphor hits a sore spot with the Laodiceans. The Laodiceans did not have a nearby water supply, but nearby there were hot springs and there were cold springs. And so what they did, they used their incredible wealth to build these aqueducts to transfer the hot water and the cold water into the city. The problem was that by the time the hot water traveled the several miles to get into town, it was no longer hot, it was lukewarm. And the cold water, by the time it traveled several miles into town, it was now lukewarm. And they had spent so much money for hot and cold water, and it ended up lukewarm, and it was a sore spot with them. They wasted this money. Now, on top of that, when you think of it, you think of hot water. Hot water warms you up. Hot water can be used to make medicine. When you've got a cut, if you soak your hand in really hot water, it can remove the infection, so it's a disinfectant. Hot water has a lot of great uses. Cold water has a lot of uses. It's refreshing. It quenches your thirst. It cools you down. It can make you feel better. And what's interesting is Laodicea would have religious feasts. And part of these religious feasts is that they would serve hot and cold drinks to the people as they were preparing themselves for the religious sacrifice. And if you were a nobleman, if you were a very wealthy person in town, if you were well-noted in the community, if you were important, then you got your drink first. So your drink would be hot or cold. But if you really weren't important in town, if you really weren't well-known and you were to the back of the line, then you would get your drink at the end, and so your drink would be lukewarm. And what Jesus is saying is that Laodiceans, in your eyes, I am not important. You have shoved me to the back of the line in your life. I'm not a high priority. I'm not very important to you, and you are lukewarm. Your life, when you offer it to me, it's lukewarm. He went on to say that, he says, I wish you were hot. I wish you were cold. Because you're really neither hot nor cold, I want nothing to do with you. You see, he said, you're useless to me. I can't use you, because that hot water was used to make the eye salve that would heal people's eyes from eye diseases. I can't use you for anything useful for hot, anything useful for cold. You're useless to me in this state you're in when you put me at the back of the line. Jesus says, I want to spit you out of my mouth. Now, a lot of your newer translations, if you look at it, they say the word spit, but spit does not even come close to what that word means. In the original language, that word means, and we have it in your mouth, in your notes, spit means to vomit, to throw up. That's why I had you say vomit earlier, because here's the thing. Jesus says, when you are lukewarm, when I am not important to you, you make me sick. A few weeks ago, I was at youth camp with our kids, and in one of the team competitions, there was a food-eating relay. Now, there's some food-eating relays that are great. They have Twinkies, they have apples, you know, that kind of thing. This food-eating relay, They ate grubs. They ate raw squid. They ate sardines. And I'm kind of gagging even now. And we had a young girl, she says, I'll eat. And I was up there encouraging her, because I read this story one time, when someone puts their feet in ice water and they're all alone, they can't keep their feet in ice water a lot, but when you put three or four people around them encouraging them, they can stay in a long time. So I was encouraging her, you can do it, you're doing great. So I'm up there and I tell her, I'm gagging right now just thinking of it. As she's taking the stuff out and she's eating it, it stunk bad. I had to turn away, so I didn't make her gag, okay? And it was just, it was like my stomach was just going, it was like my body was being repulsed. It was rejecting. And Jesus said, when you are in a lukewarm state, my body, it rejects you. It's repulsive to me, and I vomit you out of my mouth. You say, Craig, why are you getting so graphic about this vomit stuff? Because I want us to realize how it makes Jesus feel. We say, yeah, I believe in you, Lord. But he's not a priority. He's pushed to the back of the line of our lives. And he's just not all that important. It makes him sick. It makes him sick. What are the qualities of lukewarm people? How do we identify if we're lukewarm? Here's the thing. I've put down 7 qualities. You could probably put 70. I'm sure there's many more things on this list, but as I've been in ministry for almost 30 years now, these are some things that I see in people that have these down. Number one, the first thing is that they crave acceptance from people more than acceptance from God. A lukewarm Christian craves acceptance from people more than they crave acceptance from God. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the Galatian church, chapter 1, verse 10, he said, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. You know, we live in a society where we like people to like us. We post a picture, we want people to like our picture. We post a Facebook post, we want people to like our Facebook post. We buy clothes and so that, you know, people will like how we look, especially our teenagers going back to school. Maybe some of you parents have heard, well, I can't get those shoes. I can't get those pants, that shirt, because that's not cool. That's not what is acceptable. So we buy clothes, we buy things so that people will like us. Being liked is very important to us in our American society. And sometimes people want to be liked so much that they say, I will change my morals and conform my morals to what you say is right and wrong so that you like me. You see, I don't want to be too radical about this Christianity thing. I want to be accepted. I want to be liked. I'm craving acceptance from other people. Jesus said in Luke chapter 6, verse 26, woe to you when everyone speaks well of you. Why is that? Because if everyone approves of you, then you can't really be following Christ. Because there are many in the world to say what Jesus said, to live like Jesus did, they don't like that. And that's why Paul says, I can't live to please people and be a servant of Christ. You can't do that. And so that is the first quality of a lukewarm Christian. They crave acceptance from people rather than acceptance from God. Quality number two, lukewarm Christians rarely share their faith in Christ. Lukewarm Christians rarely share their faith in Christ. They rarely share the goodness of God with others. They rarely share the gospel, what God has done or what he's doing in their life. And why is that? I think a lot of times it's because of fear. I don't want other people to make fun of me. I don't want them to reject me. Paul said in Corinthians that the cross is foolishness to the world. And when you start talking about the gospel, about Jesus, people think of it as foolishness. They think we're foolish, that we're ridiculous, we're stupid for believing in that. And I think that's part of the reason that we don't want to share our faith. But I think if we would even look at it at a deeper level, I want you to consider this morning. Maybe it's because we really don't believe that the gospel can transform people's lives and totally revolutionize their life and turn it around. Because if we were gripped with the power of the cross, the power of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, when you bring Christ into your life and you accept his love and his acceptance and his power and how he can just revolutionize and transform your life, we would be saying, God, there are people in around me, my classmates as I'm going back to school, people at work, my neighbors, God, they need to know you. God, they don't realize what they're facing with hell. They don't realize how sin destroys their life and how the gospel can change your life. If we really were encaptured with the power of the gospel, then we would be more expressive and more ready to share our faith. We'd be saying, God, give me a door today. God, help me to share the gospel with someone. God, help me to tell someone about your goodness. Lukewarm Christians rarely share their faith in Christ. The third quality of being a lukewarm Christian is to rationalize sin. Say that with me. Rationalize sin. We live in a day where people rebrand and rename sin, okay? For example, adultery is not adultery anymore. It's having an affair. Now, I don't know about you, but aren't fairs sound fun? You get corn dogs and rides, and fairs are fun. We're having an affair, but it's adultery. We've changed it. Pornography is not a pornography. It is adult entertainment. Doesn't that sound good? You know, adults, yeah, you want good entertainment? We've changed the name. And swearing, cursing, that is adult language. Hey, 12-year-old, you can't use the F-bomb, okay? But when you become an adult, then it's all right. Then you can use adult language now. Stealing has become being compensated for unpaid wages. They owe me. I put in extra time. They didn't give me what I deserve, so I'm just taking what's mine. I'm being compensated for unpaid wages. You see, we rebrand and rename sin so that it doesn't sound so bad, so it doesn't feel so bad, and we see it in society all around us today. We also do things like we compare and say, well, man, I'm not as bad as so-and-so. I'm not as bad as John or as Jim or as Jane. You know, I don't do what they do, and because I'm not as bad as them, my life is okay. Or sometimes we say, what business of it is yours? This is my life. Leave me alone. You can't judge me. You can't do anything. Just get out of my life. Or we might say, it's not hurting anyone. I'm not hurting anybody. This is fine. It's okay. And we find all these different ways to rationalize sin. That's what lukewarm Christians do, is they rationalize sin. Quality number four of a lukewarm Christian is they think more about life on earth than eternity in heaven. They think more about life on earth than eternity in heaven. Now, there is a guy in the Bible, his name is Paul, and Paul said something kind of crazy. He said to the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 21, he said, "For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." He said, if I die, I benefit, I gain. It's better for me to die. Now, he's not saying taking his own life. That's not something you do. You don't gain when you take your own life, okay? He's just saying, I'm going through persecution. I'm in prison right now, when he wrote to the Philippians. And he says, hey, when I'm living, my goal is Jesus. But if I die, I'm gaining because I'm going to heaven. And lukewarm Christians, they're not thinking about heaven. They're thinking about this earth, this life, and what can I get out of it? How can I get more stuff? More money, more pleasure, more leisure, and it's about this life and not about heaven. You know, people don't want to die. You know, they would rather be 105 and be in diapers than die. Right? I mean, we want to live as long as we can. But what does, have you ever thought about heaven? Heaven is a great place with God, and we're going to be in God's presence. I can't wait to get to heaven. Now, at the same time, I want to do everything I can on earth to live for Christ. Christ is my goal. He's what's important, and that's what I'm going after. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what we need to have, a hot and cold Christian, someone that is hot, on fire, passionate for God, that has the cool presence of the Holy Spirit around them, that brings a calming, cooling atmosphere, that brings refreshment, that brings vitality, that brings life to others. That's the kind of Christian I want to be. And if I live my life like that, when I die, there is gain because I'm going to heaven. You know, lukewarm Christian, that's really an oxymoron. How many know what an oxymoron is? It's when you take two opposing words and you put them together, okay? Some examples is act naturally. Have you thought of that? Act naturally. Genuine imitation. How do you make a genuine imitation? How about this? Government efficiency. Airline food. Microsoft works sometimes. But the biggest oxymoron of all is lukewarm Christian. Because the term Christian means one who's following Christ. And when you follow Christ, Christ said, hey, my goal is to do the will of the Father, and if that means dying for the sin of mankind and I go to heaven, that's why I'm here. Jesus, he lived for God. To die was gain for him. And as a result, that's supposed to be our model. I can't be lukewarm and be a follower of Christ. Okay, quality number five is lukewarm Christians only turn to God when they need something. They only turn to God when they need something. They turn to God when things are bad. But when things are good, they really don't need them. It's kind of like they treat God like a toolbox, okay? How many of you carry your toolbox with you everywhere you go? You carry it, you know, into the living room. You carry it into the bedroom. You carry it all over the place, you know. No, you only go to the toolbox when you have a problem. When you need to get that right tool, you go pick up that wrench or whatever it is. You pick up that tool to fix the problem. And lukewarm Christians, that's how they treat God. You know, man, my kids are doing bad. I go to God and I pick up my tool. God, you got to help me. And when my kids are doing good again, I put God down and I go on with my life. Someone gets cancer. Oh, God, heal me. Help me. God, take care of me. God, do this. God, do that. And when you're healed and you go through chemo and there's no more, okay, thank you, God, and you put the toolbox back and you go on your way. Friends, Jesus wants a relationship with you. He doesn't want us just to come to him when we need something, when life has a problem, when something's going bad. He wants us to come to him in the good times and the bad times. Just as you have a friendship with someone, you just don't go to a friend in the bad times. You go to them all the time because you enjoy their company. You love them. You want to be with them. That's what Jesus is looking for in our lives. But lukewarm Christians, they only go to God when they need something. And quality number six, lukewarm Christians only give whenever it's convenient. They only give whenever it's convenient. They say, well, I'll give if I look good, or I'll give if it doesn't impinge on my standard of living. I'll give if it doesn't inconvenience me. But, oh my goodness, don't you dare ask me to give if it causes me sacrifice, if it causes me to have to go without. Sometimes what we don't realize is that God owns all of our stuff. He owns it all. And I'm to use my stuff as a tool for the King. I seek God on a regular basis. I'm seeking the King, and I'm wanting to see the kingdom of God. That's our theme for 2019. I want to see the kingdom built. But lukewarm Christians, they're not seeking the King. They're not trying to see the kingdom. It's all about themselves. Their stuff, it's my, instead of seeing it's God's. And so lukewarm Christians only give when it's advantageous, when it's comfortable, when it's easy. There's nothing about sacrifice. All right, last quality this morning of a lukewarm Christian is that they're not much different from the rest of the world. Lukewarm Christians are not much different from the rest of the world. They watch the same movies as everybody else. They listen to the same music as everybody else. They use the same foul language when their golf ball goes into the high grass like everybody else does. They act pretty much, they raise their kids pretty much the same. They respond to problems and criticism pretty much the same. There's no difference between a lukewarm Christian's life and the rest of the world. You see, they'll say, I want all that God has for me, but I don't want to follow all that God wants me to do. They'll say, I want all of his blessings, but I don't want to go all in and give God my full life. He's the back of the line. He's not that important. He's not a priority. I'm lukewarm. So what did Jesus say? Jesus goes on in verse 17 of Revelation, and he said, you say, I am rich. I have acquired wealth and don't need a thing. Remember how wealthy the Laodiceans were? You know, Jesus, he really could be writing this to our culture, because we live in an age where we have huge stadiums and massive theaters and big shopping centers and banks and medicine. Jesus could be writing to us. And he says, you say you're rich, but you don't realize you're wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so that you can become rich. He goes on to say, and, so he wants them to buy something else, and remember the famous black wool they made and the eye salve they made? Look what he says next. Buy from me white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and put salve on your eyes so you can see. Why? Because they're blind, they can't see. And here's the thing, lukewarm Christians are oblivious to the genuine state they're in. A lukewarm Christian doesn't realize that they're wretched, miserable, poor, naked, blind. They don't realize how bad life is. They think they're rich. They think life is great, but they don't realize their life is a mess. Friends, Jesus came to give you life and to have it more abundantly. Only Jesus gives full abundant life. Jesus went on to say, and here's the thing, as you're looking at this and Jesus is only saying bad things, You might think, oh man, he really hates them. He wants to vomit them out. But I want you to look at this next verse. This is Jesus' heart for them. He doesn't hate them. Look at verse 19. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. Jesus loves lukewarm Christians. He doesn't hate them. He's like the parent who disciplines a child when they do something wrong. One, because he knows if that behavior is allowed to persist in their life, it's going to cause them problems in life later on. Or letting them just run in the street like they want to do could kill them. It could harm them. And Jesus, when he gives a rebuke, when he says these hard things, it's because he loves us and he's trying to protect us from harm and from things that would destroy our life. And so he says, I love those I love, I rebuke. He loves us. And it goes on to say, be earnest and repent. Jesus is giving the prescription. If you're a lukewarm Christian, this is what you do. You be earnest or zealous. Become passionate now. Don't have just a comfortable Christianity. Become earnest and zealous. Repent. Because Jesus says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. Here's the thing. Jesus is still nearby knocking on your heart if you're lukewarm. He hasn't run out on you. He hasn't left you. The song we sang in worship, your love never fails, it never gives up, it never runs out on me. Even for the lukewarm Christian, that is true. But he's standing there and we have to open the door of our life so that we can receive his love. There are some of you here this morning. You've been hearing the voice of Jesus throughout this morning. Maybe it's something that I said, or maybe it's even something else. The Holy Spirit has been knocking on your heart, and he's been kind of speaking to you and saying, hey, there's some lukewarmness in your life. There's some things that aren't right with God. You've put God to the back of the line. God's not all that important to you. You need to reshift your priorities. You need to get things right. If you're here this morning and you're hearing that voice, what do? You say, you repent. You say, Jesus, I confess I've been lukewarm. Today, I'm making the choice to be passionate, white hot passionate for you. I want the cool presence of your Spirit in my life. I'm turning away from being a lukewarm Christian. I'm going all in. Jesus, I want to make you the most important person in my life. There is nothing more important than you. God loves you. Friends, you can't begin to imagine the life that Jesus has for those who are hot and cold for him, who are useful for him, who say, you're priority to me. The world has nothing compared to the abundant life that's found in Christ. But each of us has a choice to make. Are we going to be lukewarm? Or are we going to be all in? Jesus was all in for you and I. He gave it all. Will you be all in for him?
We hope that you've enjoyed today's message, and thanks again for joining us on the Casper Faith Podcast.